look to the Holy Spirit tonight. Well, tonight, our starting series that we have for this year, by the direction of the Holy Spirit through our leader, is God Wants to Move Through You. God wants to move through you. Why don't you say this with me? God wants to move through me. And then turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to move through you. Turn to your other neighbor. It's always the case. It's always the case. When we say like this, we're very soft. But when we say to the other person, it gets really loud. Well, turn to your other neighbor. Say, God wants to move through you. And then ask yourself, who else is he going to use? And you can say to yourself under your breath, duh. This seems to be the implied question when Jesus said to his disciples from our main text in John chapter 4, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Jesus says here, and we'll just take our time, develop this, and just let this word sink into our hearts, because these are Jesus' words. They're not a lie. They're not some fairy tale. And these are red letters, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, which means that these letters or these words, they trump everything. The Bible is the final authority on all things pertaining to life and ministry. And if Jesus says it, then that's it. I believe it, that settles it. He said, not me. Those are his words, and he is our Savior. And I would advise you to get with the program and just agree with him. Just nod your head. You know, get used to whenever Jesus says something, just say, okay, Lord. And just keep smiling. Because maybe your mind might be going, what? You know, like those calculators that can you can only punch in 10 digits? You know, 10 digits in the calculator, but you punch in 12 digits, and then it just has a big fat E on it. And maybe, you might have grown up with, some of the pinball machines we had back in the day. And when you go over the digits, then it just says, tilt, meaning your brain can't wrap around it. But these are some things that you just have to receive by faith and allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate and to give you understanding in. So praise the Lord. Just keep on believing with us for illumination. But he said it. He said that, and he says, verily, verily, which is in our language, meaning truthfully. I say truthfully, and he doesn't say it once, he says it twice. So this may be hard for you to understand, but this is the word of God, and we're going to believe for understanding tonight. Amen? So hook up your faith with me tonight. I'm believing for understanding and spiritual revelation in these areas. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, Jesus, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto the Father. The reason why you who believe on him will do the works that he did and greater works is because that he's going. Who else is going to do it? Duh. Who else is going to do it? So the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it's about God's desire for man and to move through man. Now, understand this. There are some legal issues here, some legalities here. And God, he does these things the right way. God created the earth. Then he gave man dominion. So Adam was, for all intentions, the God, little g, of the earth. But when he sinned and gave the power and dominion to the devil received all of that authority. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus, he answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." So if you serve someone, then you are saying that person becomes your master. And so if you sin, then you're calling the sin your master. Whomever you bow the knee to, they become your master. And when they become your master, all of your possessions become theirs. Can you see that? So even though you have these things and they belong to you, but if you have a master, that person owns all of these things because he is your master. So God immediately in Genesis chapter 3 puts his salvation plan for the redemption of man into action. And he says this, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and I'm just giving you references so that you can see it, that these aren't just my words, but for I know a lot of our students are here, so you might want to take notes, but we won't take the time to actually turn there, but you can see it on the board. But in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, and he said all of these things, and then verse 15, he said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Darby translation says that he shall crush your head. Also, the BBE translation says, by him will your head be crushed. And since then, we see the devil trying his best to kill every child being born of a woman, every single one of them. And his MO or his mode of operation hasn't changed. And we see that with the first children, Cain and Abel. The devil tempted Cain. Cain kills Abel, and Cain is disqualified from being used in the process. He becomes a murderer. So the devil in and of himself, he cannot actually kill anyone. He has no power. What he does is he uses man. Did you see that? And he killed two birds with one stone. You remember Cain and Abel? Well, we'll move on from there. The devil in and of himself has no power, but he has to influence man because man has the hinging authority. Remember, God created man and gave him all of the authority here on this earth. And we say hinging authority, kind of like the door. You understand a door has a hinge, how it opens and shuts. Matthew 18, verse 18 says that whatever you bind here on this earth, it shall be bound from heaven. Whatever you loose on this earth, kind of like man has this hinging authority. He opens and he shuts these things happening here on this earth. The devil needs man in order to do his dirty work, and his weapon is deceit, lies, and manipulation. Hallelujah. Is a lie powerful? Yes, it can be powerful. The power of a lie is in you believing the lie. But if you don't believe the lie, thank God for the truth, then the lies become powerless. But the devil, that's what he does. He manipulates, he deceives, and he lies. Now, God, he wants to move also on the earth and have his will done. And his will is good. Good, good, good. He wants to make things good for us. He doesn't deceive or lie or manipulate. He does things legally. He created man. He saved and redeemed man after the fall. And he saves man time and again and sustains him every single day. With every single breath, you understand that you are alive because of God, his grace. He sustains you if you are willing. Understand, God granted free will to man, and he will never override it. God needs man to work with him. God gave man power and authority over all the earth. And when the devil took it, he came back as a man so that he can give it back again to man. That's how he operates. He's not like us. He won't just take something that he gave you and then use it in any way or any fashion or any time that he wants. You understand? He's not like us. Maybe you bought your son or a little brother a pen, right? Yeah. So if I buy my son a pen and then I give him the pen and then sometime I might need to use a pen. So I say, there goes the pen. And he's not there. But I need a pen. So what do? I just go and use it. Because I bought the pen. But is it my pen? Is God like that? That would be a thief. When God gave his authority to man, he doesn't come back and take it or use it anytime he wants because he gave it to man. Can you see that? So in order for him to, with this redemption plan, in order for him to save mankind again, he had to come back as a man. And he came down on this earth as a man. And then he took it from the devil legally, resisting all of the temptation that man goes through, resisting all of the lies that man goes through. And then as a man, he beat the devil. He paid the price for man. As a man, he went down to hell and he paid the price. And then he came and he gave us the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, we don't see much of Adam before the fall, but he was awesome. He was perfect and created in God's image. Most of what we see of Adam in Genesis, not Adam, the great perfect creation of God, what we see is Gollum. You know Adam? He was like an Adonis. He was like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He had the Holy Spirit in him, and he was made perfectly. But then, because sin came in, and it separated the Holy Spirit from his spirit, he died spiritually. And spiritual death, we're learning it in school, is the separation of your spirit from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit left him. And when the Holy Spirit left him, it left a big, gaping, God-shaped hole in him. And it was a traumatic experience. I mean, the whole earth died that day. I mean, sin came in, and it separated. And then we had Adam, like an Adonis, and then the Holy Spirit torn away from his spirit, and on the inside he became warped and twisted and precious, my precious. That's what we see. We don't see Adam before the fall that much, but we see someone who had sin in his life. And even though he died spiritually that day, it took years and years for the natural death to work its way out from inside. He was alive on the outside, but dead on the inside. And it took many years before he died. Let me say some things about the creation of Adam or man. Adam, you understand, that's just Hebrew for man. Adam, man. When God created man, the whole Godhead was involved. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. I want you to pay attention to these words, because this is God's intent when he created man. This was his will when he created man. Even before he created man, he said, let us make man in our image. Talking the Trinity, having their own conversation. That was God's will and intent. And when he created man, it was his will and intent. God doesn't change. Neither does his will change. And even now, I want you to pay attention to this, because even now, it is still his will for us to be in his image, to have dominion, and to tend the garden, tend the earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, man was formed from the dust, but he wasn't alive until God breathed. It says that breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Amplified translation says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life. God's very own spirit was breathed into this man that was created from the earth, and he became a living soul. Hallelujah. Man carried God himself on the inside. The Holy Spirit was on the inside, unlike any of the other creations. There were already in existence all kinds of beings, angelic beings, and other kinds of beings, dinosaurs. But never before did creation see anything like this, a being created in God's own image and likeness, inspired with God's own spirit, having dominion over all the earth and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. They had never seen anything like it. This was God's crowning creation, the pinnacle of the works of his hands. Man, created to rule over all the earth for God, to work the garden as God's agent. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you don't have to turn there, it'll be on the board. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. And we know that it wasn't until after the fall that Adam, he broke a sweat. After the fall, God spoke to him and said, now you're going to have to work and you're going to break a sweat. With the sweat of your face, you shall eat. If you don't sweat, you're not going to eat. Do we understand that concept? You understand that concept. That was because of the fall. But before, Adam was given the job to tend the garden, that had dominion over all of the fish of the sea, all of the fowls of the air. He named the animals. He called them by name. That means he talked to them. He told them what to do. Hallelujah. And he had authority over all of the plants and everything. He was told to tend the garden, but he wasn't given any shovel. Huh? He was created in God's image. How did God create the earth? Words, he spoke. And how is Adam, created in God's image, going to tend the garden without sweating? Words. Speaking. Now we'll see later, Adam, the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, did he do some of these things? Oh, yeah. Remember he spoke to the fig tree? He went to get, because he was hungry, there should have been something for him to eat. But there wasn't anything, so he said, let no one eat of your fruit ever again, forever. And then the next day, they saw and the tree had died from its roots. What was he doing? Gardening. Huh? And then Peter said, hey, look, that Jesus, look at the tree. And Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say that if you believe in your heart and confess with, if you believe in your heart and not doubting, anyone whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be cast into the sea, not doubting in his heart, but believes that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he say. What do you call that? Landscaping. Hallelujah. This is what Adam was told to do, to tend the garden. Hallelujah. So we see God moving in the Old Testament. And last week, Pastor Jenny went through a few examples of God moving using man. We see God's love in demonstration. We see God's righteousness and his righteous judgment. We see God's mercy. We see God's provision. We see God's protection. And we see God's power in manifestation. This is all God. And he wants to show forth. He wants to manifest. But how does he do it? He needs to use man. Somebody's got to do it. So we see God's desire to work for man and using man to be a blessing to man. And we see Abraham from Genesis chapter 12 to around 17. We see most of the stories about Abraham. After the flood, the Bible fast forwards 10 generations in about 400 years to get to Abraham. You see this long list of this genealogy. And it just went from Noah to Shem and then so on and so forth. And then it gets to Abraham. And here, God finds someone who he can cut covenant with so he can legitimately work with him at a higher and greater level than man could have before. He wants to use man. But it's man. They need to come up to a higher level. Then we see Moses and the children of Israel. And we see that God moved through Moses and performed marvelous miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, right throughout all of these stories of the Old Testament, did man have a part to play? Absolutely. Any work that God wanted done on the earth, he needed the participation and involvement of man. God wants to move, and he wants to move through you. So again, we don't see much of Adam before the fall, but praise God, we do get to see the last Adam, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. He showed us who Adam was supposed to be and who we are supposed to be. Did you get that? We are descendant of Adam, so we are supposed to be like how Jesus, he came and he showed us. He is the last Adam, and he showed us how Adam was supposed to be. And in showing us how Adam was supposed to be, he's showing us how we are supposed to be. You understand that if Adam hadn't sinned, that we would be just like how he was. Not sweating, just calling forth things by faith. See, because in Genesis chapter 5, let me just read this. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Who was Adam created in the likeness and image of? Of God, right? Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So Adam was created in the image of God, but then there was the sin and the fall that happened in Genesis chapter 3, and he becomes something like Gollum, all twisted and warped, because he was alive on the outside but dead on the inside. And that was passed on to Seth, and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we see that he lived 130 years at that time, and then he begat his son Seth, and then he lived to something like 900 years. So in as much as he devolved from this into this, that's how he passed on to us. But if it wasn't for sin, we would be just like Adam before the fall. But praise God, we have Jesus Christ, the last Adam. Now, John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him. We see Jesus now, and Jesus, he is the fullest revelation of God the Father that we have. Hallelujah. And we see him begin to work in John chapter 5, verse 5. Pastor Jenny also talked on this miracle. Verse 5, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. Took up his bed and walked. So this is the miracle. And later on, Jesus explained how it happened. In verse 19, then Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. This is how Jesus operated. He saw these things in the Spirit, in his heart. He saw his Father do the work, and then he went and he executed that work. Did God move here? Yes, he did. Is the power of God in manifestation here? Yes. How did God move? Through Jesus, a man anointed with the Spirit of God. Jesus trained his disciples by showing them who man is supposed to be, what a true human being is supposed to look like. And they trained others, and so on and so forth. And that's why we're here right now. We're being trained. We're taking a look at how we are supposed to be. And we're learning, how did we come here on this earth? How was the first man created? What was he like? And we see this revelation through Jesus. God wants to move through you the same way that he moved through Jesus. Who else is he going to use? There are so many beings, but Jesus didn't come down as an angel. And Jesus hasn't given this work to an angel. And the Holy Spirit was not breathed into any other body or shape but man. So let's talk about the work. Who's working here? According to John chapter 5, verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto, and I work. And whose work is it? It's God's. This is taken from the Gospel of John It's about Jesus. And it brings the perspective of Jesus as the Son of God. And it does so partly by emphasizing the works. The works. More references to works are found in John's gospel than any other. And they are in regard to Jesus doing the work of God. Here are just a few of some of these familiar scriptures. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They wanted to get in on it. They see that there's a work going on. God's doing a work. Jesus is doing the work of God. And they want to get in on it. How? How can we work the works of God? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. John chapter 17, verse 4, this is Jesus praying to the Father, and he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave to me. Jesus himself, he also says that the work testifies that he is the Son of God. In John chapter 5, verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. In the same way that the works that Jesus did bear witness that Jesus is the Son of God, the works that we do will bear witness that we are the children of God. Any children of God here in this place? Yes. Then the works should bear witness to that. John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. This is an interesting story, and you can go ahead and turn there to John chapter 10. And here, he did a work on the Sabbath day, and you know, the Jews, they took issue with this, and they asked him about this, and then he started to explain some of these things that we're talking about tonight. He started to explain some of these things. But we're looking into it. But then they got offended. And we're going to take our time a little bit and maybe, you know, help this word to sink in a little bit, because we don't want you to get offended. But we might say some things. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. This is verse 31. 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself gods. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. He said this, that the Father and I are one. And that, whew, I mean, they blew a gasket. You know, Baliva. Yeah, that's the closest translation I can come up with. They blew a gasket over this. I mean, you know, not only was he doing things on the Sabbath day, but when he said purposefully that he and the Father are one, man, they just went crazy. And then he turned it on them and he says, doesn't the Psalms, because he was referring to the Psalms, doesn't the Psalm say that I said that you are gods. And if he said it, referring to God, if he said it, and the scripture cannot be broken, and if me, the sanctified one sent from God, says it, but you call me a blasphemer, what are we? Are we children of God? Have we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Have we accepted the salvation and the redemption prepared by God the Father? And has he not sanctified us? What if I said that we are gods? Isn't that what the scripture says? Are we not one with God? Are we not one with Jesus Christ? I mean, don't we always say, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted him into your heart? Don't we read the Bible and says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are we not created in God's image and God's likeness? And did not God breathe the Holy Spirit into their nostrils and they came alive? We have the nature of God. See, this is what we need. We have to become more God inside us minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We're just going to go through some scriptures. Let this germinate in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received the Spirit, not the spirit of the world, but of God. Anybody receive the Spirit of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. Let's take a look again at our main text, but back up a little so that we get some context. Jesus just finished telling Philip, because, Philip, he asked to see the Father. And Jesus says to Philip and the disciples, John chapter 14, verse 10, just a few verses before our main text, John chapter 14, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God he wasn't Psalm 1. Because if it was me and Philip said, show us the Father, then I would do something like this. I'd say, you want to see the Father? You really want to see the Father? Okay, close your eyes and count to three. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now count to three. One, two, three. Open your eyes. Did you see God the Father? Did you see God the Father? Because this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I've been with you for 3 years. And you're saying to show you the Father? Hello? Hallelujah. God wants to move through us. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you. See, now he brings up this scripture. After he's showing this revelation to them, he brings up this scripture. Why? Because now he's going to twist it around, and now he's going to say, God is in you. Now, this happened before Jesus went to the cross. You understand? Because he's ushering in this new birth and this new covenant. But this is the lesson that God wants for us to see. See, I'm not gonna do this, although I want to do this, and maybe I'll do this. You want to see God? You want to see God? You really want to see God? Okay, close your eyes. One, two, three. Hallelujah. He's saying, God is in me. You want to see God the Father? Look at me. And then he says this, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, you're going to do. And greater works than these, because I'm going up. Who else is going to do it? Duh. You guys are here on the earth. I'm going up. That's why you guys are going to do it. Praise the Lord. Because I go unto the Father. Who else is he going to use? We are created in God's image, in the likeness of God. His will has never changed. He created us in his image and likeness to have dominion and have dominion over the fish, over the fowls of the air, and to tend the garden. Isn't that right? Remember I said to pay attention to Genesis chapter 1, 20, 26, 27, and 28. Because when he created them, he blessed them. And then he said, be blessed. And that be blessed carries the same authority and power as let there be light. And light was. So we are blessed. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, blessings coming. Woo, hallelujah. Blessings coming. Jesus' goal was to train us by showing us Adam. Showing us Adam. And we mentioned the same three things, created in his image and likeness, have dominion over the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, tend the garden. Isn't that what he did? Didn't he tend the garden when he removed that fig tree? Tending the garden. How about the other one? Well, of course, he came and he showed us the likeness. He's the full revelation of God the Father. He showed us our true image and our likeness. You are God's. We are God's. We are God's children. Don't blow a gasket now. But let this truth get the word. Didn't he do that? Yes, he did. Well, how about the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea? Praise God, Pastor Nelson shared that the same story. Remember that? After preaching, you know, from the floating pulpit. Huh? They all heard. The fish heard. Did the fig tree hear?
Yes.
So do you think the fish can hear?
Yes.
Was man created to communicate with the animals?
Yes.
So the fish can hear as well. All right, they're even doing it even now. You train dolphins and animals, sea animals. Yeah, go to Sea Park and check them out. Man, they're doing it even now. But they heard when Jesus said to Peter, take your boat a little further and put down the net for a catch. When Jesus said, put down the net for a catch, all of the fish understood, the master wants fish. So they all swam and dove into the net. And they all dove it before Peter came out, and they were all running away from the boat. But when they heard Jesus say to Peter, put down the net for a catch, they all swam and ran, trying to beat one another into the net. Some even made it into the boat. You understand, the greatest destiny of a fish is to be eaten by man. Hallelujah. How many fish die out there in the sea? No one's enjoying that fish. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. He is showing us who we are supposed to be. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. That word actually there is Elohim, which is also translated as God. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Hallelujah. to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. God sent Jesus so Jesus, he could bring more sons and bring them into glory. Through the perfect work of Jesus Christ's earthly life, death, and resurrection, we are the sons of God. God wants to work through you. Who else? Who else qualifies? Hallelujah. Let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 18. Therefore, if any man is engrafted in Christ, this is from the Amplified Translation, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Are you a person who is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah? Then you are a new creation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Amplified Translation says, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Hallelujah. Now we understand that Jesus, he came as a man. And it wasn't until he had the Holy Spirit come upon him, and the Bible says that he had the Holy Spirit without measure, it wasn't until then that he was able to do these miracles. Just like Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man, Jesus of Nazareth is a reference to the man, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus ministered on earth as a man anointed with the Spirit of God. And so we too must be anointed with the Spirit of God. But we are also called to be filled to the fullness of God himself. Hallelujah. Turn to Colossians. Well, why don't you go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I'll just read Colossians to you. Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Are you there in Ephesians? Okay, hold your place there and turn to John. John chapter 17. The students are used to this. They like to get into the Word of God. So if you have three fingers in your Bible holding places, then you are in the Word of God. Colossians 2, verse 9 says, for in him, talking about Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, I just mentioned that we are called to be filled unto the fullness of God. Yes, you heard me right. Us filled with fullness of God. Yes. Yes. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now Jesus in his prayer to God in verse 21, his prayer to God the Father, John chapter 17 verse 21, and we'll just skip some verses here. But this is his prayer, and then he said that they all may be one, talking about the disciples. Jesus, he said, I pray for those who believe, who have believed, who you've given me. But not just them, talking about the 12 disciples and those people who were present, not just the 12 apostles, but also the other disciples. Not just those, but also those who will believe because of their testimony. So Jesus was praying for those disciples in the first century church, as well as us in this day and age. You understand? Because he's praying for all of you. He was praying for all of you. He was praying not just for those who God had given him as his group, but also those who would believe because of their testimony. So that prayer came down through the ages, and that is his will. And he says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Remember, God wants us to be filled with the fullness of God, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 23, I in them, meaning Jesus in us, and thou in me, meaning God in Jesus. When we accept Jesus into our hearts and into our lives, the whole Godhead comes into your heart. The whole Godhead. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. The Amplified says, and that I myself may be in them. Ephesians 3, verse 14, Paul's prayer, inspired by the Holy Ghost, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now, that's a lot to take in, but this is where I wanted to get to. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God himself. God wants to work. Who's he going to use? God wants to work through you. Who else? Who else can he use? God, he needs a body. Hallelujah. Let me just give you a few scriptures. But God needed Jesus to be born into this world with a body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And God wants to use your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, or verse 1, pardon me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. Hallelujah. Now, this is all connected. This is all Bible. You understand? And it's talking about the fullness of God. And it's talking about God needs a body. When Jesus came on the scene, he says that my days were written in the book. And that when I came, you didn't want sacrifices or this. You wanted a body. And here he says, present your body. So not the sacrifices of the bulls and the goats, which they all did in the Old Testament, but in this testament, in this new covenant that we have, it's your body. And your body, how you do it, is you put it onto the altar. It's a living sacrifice. Amen? So once you put it on the altar, you don't take it back down, right? You know what I'm saying? You don't put the sacrifice on the altar and then, okay, hallelujah, hallelujah, okay, time to go. And then you put. Praise the Lord. It's your body, committing your body. Are you going to allow God to use your body? Because he wants to move through you. But your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. I think that's the bell. So we'll conclude. The Holy Spirit wants to manifest. You understand? Familiar scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, for anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen? Hallelujah. He's a new creation. He's a new creation. For the first time, the Holy Spirit could come back into the body of Adam. Since that traumatic experience where Adam devolved into Gollum because the Holy Spirit was separated and taken away because of sin. And now when you receive Christ Jesus, and now it's back again. Same way in which God breathed life, the spirit of life, into man's nostrils. And he became a living soul. This is what happened. God wants to manifest. The Holy Spirit wants to manifest. Holy Spirit plus man equals manifestation. Holy Spirit manifestation. And he wants to move through you. John 14, verse 12 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We see even these greater works with these apostles once they were born again and then they received the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see Paul and the handkerchief. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 to 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Even Peter's shadow, Acts chapter 5, verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. This is the greater works, but it's not the only works. God wants to work through you. Who else is he going to use? We are his body. More than thrice owned, he created us, he redeemed us, and he sustains us every single day. He breathed his Holy Spirit into us, and we were recreated. Who else is he going to use? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the image and likeness of God, created to have dominion on the earth. So we are developing to becoming the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you. We praise your wonderful name. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we are alive here on this earth. And we give our bodies that you can use. Father, we thank you. We praise your wonderful name. As the pastor begins to play and the praise and worship team begin to minister, allow God to work through your body. And we know that he wants to minister. He wants to move tonight, and he's here. If you have any sickness in your body, or if you need prayer, and you would like us to join our faith with yours, just come forward as the praise and worship team begin to play and sing. Anybody? You want hands laid on you for prayer? Come forward. Just slip into the aisles and come up. Anybody else? Those of you coming forward, just join your faith with ours and just receive. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just want all of those who have come forward, be ready to receive. Amen. It's God, and he's moving through us, but it's God. Put your focus on God, not on man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It's okay. I'm going to ask the pastoral staff to join me up and to minister with hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Jenny, if you can help minister with to the ladies as well, please. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just be ready to receive. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. those who have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, and if you know that you haven't publicly declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do so tonight, you've never had the opportunity, or you never took the opportunity that was given, but you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to have this work of God in your life, the recreation with the Holy Spirit coming into your body. If you would like that, with every head bowed and if every eye closed, raise your hand so I can see. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Thank you for that hand. I see it. Hallelujah. Why don't you just make your way forward? Anybody else? Maybe for some of you, you've already accepted Jesus Christ, but you would like to reaffirm your pledge or your commitment to God tonight. Tonight's a good night. It's a great night. Come forward. Just come forward right now, and we'll meet you right here in front of the pulpit. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you can still join your hearts with us and join in the prayer. And if you want to reaffirm your commitment to the Lord, just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for the life you've given me. And I thank you that you've taken all of my sins away. You've put them on Jesus, who knew no sin. He became sin for me, that I might become your child, righteous and clean. I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died for my sins, and you raised him up on the third day, and now he's seated at your right hand. And I confess him my Lord and Savior before all of those here and before you, Father. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you that I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I thank you, Father. I'm now born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, bless you. Bless you, sister. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's always wonderful. The angels are rejoicing up in heaven. Well, praise the Lord. And we give God all of the glory. Please be seated. We have some announcements. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jenny.
Well, glory to God. What an amazing night.